Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Talking all things Tennessee Titans, and to help us do that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey on the sideline for the preseason game on Saturday night down there in Tampa Bay. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am delightful, Roberto. How are you today?
I'm also delightful. You look great, sounded great on the broadcast the other night, and you dodged the rain throughout the game too, which I know was a big concern heading into that one.
Just not before the game. So, you know, we're like, I don't know how long it was, half an hour, 45 minutes, just crossing your fingers that it would stop, not because I was afraid to get wet and mess up my coiffed hair, but because we all wanted to see Cam Ward play.
Yes, and we did. We saw Cam Ward play. He got two series in. It took a while for that second series to come along, but it finally did. So what did you make of, from what we saw from Cam Ward, a limited sample size, what did you make of the way that he played?
You know, I thought it was fine. I mean, it wasn't electric. It wasn't horrific. It was just kind of like the next step in the process. I mean, he was 0-for-2, and then he was 5-for-6. But you can point to the one incompletion was a ball that very well could have been intercepted. The one I go back to was the second incompletion when he rolled to his right and threw long down the sideline. He had Calvin Ridley open in the middle of the field. I mean, he just didn't see him. I mean, those guys are coming fast, and I think some of that is some of what he's getting used to. And, you know, he'll probably, I'm guessing he'll make that play. He needs to make that play happen in the future. But again, this is the first one. You know, I don't think we saw anything where we went, oh, no, this isn't going to work. So, you know, and we saw him, you know, make some plays. I think what I really liked was the pass protection that he had. And I know it was against the second string, you know, Bucks defense for sure. But he had good pockets to throw from and good vision to see downfield for the most part. And I thought that, you know, I haven't seen that in a while. So that was nice to see.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that, Corey, because – It is against backups. It was against backups. Yep. So you have to keep that in mind. I said earlier, I still would say some previous iterations of Titans offensive lines in recent years would still look bad against backups. So I feel like we're seeing an improved group, but how much can you put into that?
Well, I mean, look, did Andre Dillard and Nicholas Petitfrere not make Jalen Harrell look like the next iteration of Khalil Mack?
Yep.
Okay, so that's the start. Did you see Dylan Raiden's last night?
Yep.
For the Saints? Okay. We didn't see that, all right? So, you know, they've got two pros on the corners there. I know Dan Moore's got some work to do when you look at some of the pass protection numbers, but he is certainly a step above those guys. You know, he's a willing combatant, and I think that's a really nice place to start. So yeah, and I think that group's going to run the ball pretty well. You know, you consider you still didn't have Cushenberry and Zeitler. If people don't realize, I mean, Zeitler's 340 pounds, and you know when you put him and Latham together, I mean, you've got almost 700 pounds on that right side. You know, they feel good about their running game, and, you know, we didn't see a ton of it, but I think they feel like they're going to be able to run the football.
So, Corey, realizing that if Cam Ward goes down for, you know, a lengthy period of time at any point this year, that the Titans are up a creek, regardless of who their backup quarterback is, you know, I thought Brandon Allen was, he's all right at times, and then a couple throws that were not very good. You know, Tim Boyle, you know, hyperbole aside, maybe one of the worst quarterback games I've ever seen played out there. So what do you make of where they are at backup quarterback right now? How much of a red flag was that game Saturday at that position? And how do you think the Titans view that? Does it matter the way those two guys play on the field, knowing that if Cam Ward goes down at any point this year, you're in big trouble with this roster?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that what I consider when I look at both of these guys – like Tim Boyle, you know, we've seen over the years, has not had tremendous success in the NFL. And we've watched in practice as he's made some plays, right? We're like, you know, that's a good throw. You know, he looks the part. You know, word is, you know, he really, he knows offense. But you see what happens when the game goes live and guys' ability to process in the heat of the moment. It all gets turned up. It all gets harder. And it's not like he had wide open targets to throw to. Now, that's not the reason for some of the guesses that he threw out there. But you see, my point is you see the difference between practice and a game.
Yep.
And how some guys can look so good. Nathan Peterman, guys who can look so good in practice, and then the game comes on, and it's just a disaster. But, like I said, word is Tim Boyle really knows offense, And so if you don't ever want him to play, you just want him to run offense in practice for your defense and be a brain and a voice in the room with Cam, maybe he can fill that role. You know, if you're not planning on ever having him play, actually. But he's going to fill that room for you in practice and in the room. You know, Brandon Allen, you know, coach is adamant that he's had a great camp, a really good camp. But I still think his strength is he's been in this offense for 3 years before. And that's why he's out there. Because you're right. I mean, there are other guys who have thrown for a heck of a lot more yards that are still available to go get. And I just don't think that, at least to replace Brandon Allen, I don't think that they have any interest at this point.
So can he be Coach Boyle? Can we do that? Can he, coach?
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of what his role would be, is you know, player coach. Because, I mean, guys, if Brandon Allen got hurt, are you going to say, hey, we're gonna roll him out there, or are you going to go sign Carson Wentz and bring him in?
I'll do that, yeah.
Well, speaking of signing Carson Wentz, because like, we've talked about this today on the show, Corey, but it's like, look, this team has a very good chance of not being very good, and that's with Cam Ward, mm-hmm. quarterback. To me, it's like if he gets hurt at some point, what is signing a Wentz or whatever going to do for your bottom line anyway? So why not just go ahead and embrace having another very high pick in the draft?
Yeah, well, also, I mean, I don't know if Carson Wentz is going to assign to be a third-string quarterback.
Right.
So, you know, the deal would have to be, yeah, you're our number two. And I don't know if they're willing to go there. And if Cam Ward gets hurt, Tony Pollard better take his vitamins and get the ice bath ready, because he's going to carry the football a lot.
Well, and to that point, now Spears dealing with an injury, the high ankle sprain that's going to keep him out the rest of the preseason. And we'll see, you know, we'll see what that means by the time week one rolls around. But obviously, Corey, not what you want to see, not a great start for Tajay Spears.
No, he's had some really good practices, and we all know how explosive that he indeed can be. But, you know, we go through this, it seems, each year. He just, for one reason or another, you know, the injuries find him, whether they be, you know, hamstring, ankle, knee, concussion, whatever. You know, he's, you know, hasn't had that catastrophic season ender, but he's missed time. He's missed time, and then he's got to work his way back in. And I know they're really hoping that they could have that 1-2 punch this year. And so now, I mean, I think this is big for Julius Chestnut. Because, I mean, what does Julius Chestnut do well? He carries the football. And so I think this gives him a chance, you know, to possibly, you know, be on the team to start the season and get some carries the first few weeks.
That would be – I mean, he's an August superstar. But, no, I mean, I like his talent. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, I guess you could compare it to Mason Kinsey. But I actually think that, unlike Kinsey, he's a guy who probably has enough talent to at least be, you know, a guy who can give you a carry here or there. Defensively, Corey, I liked James Williams. I liked what I saw from him. I think you can really see some things coming together for him. I did not like what I saw from Femi Oladejo at all. He does not look ready to me. And it's a bad, yeah. It's a great opportunity for him to play this year because this team is going to need him. But I don't know. How did you come away from that game with those two and maybe anybody else on that side of the ball who made an impression on you?
Well, I think the easiest way to put it is kind of what you said. One of them was noticeable and one of them was not. You saw James Williams, you know, flying sideline to sideline. Heck, he came up with a big play on the opening kickoff.
Yeah.
And then Femi, you know, again, going against backups, right? And he didn't get any pressure. And not only did he not get any pressure, I mean, he was part of a defensive unit that got run on. And that, I know that's a sticking point, you know, going into this week. And I know he's young in the process, but I mean, it's quite obvious they intend on him to play a lot. And if he's going to play a lot, he's got to find a way. He's got to find a way to win. And there weren't, I don't think there were any wins in there in the pass rush for him.
Yeah. Like it was, we all know he's a project, but you're still talking about a second round pick, right? Like they need, you know, a second round pick to step in there.
Well,
and
I mean,
to be able
Devon
to give you something.
Was a project.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, Micah Parsons made the switch and I'm comparing him to, you know, all pro caliber players,
but he's not quite LT.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, look, they brought him in here to go get the quarterback.
Yeah.
And so he's you know, they're counting on him to do it. Now, that's, you know, their mistake if he can't do it, all right? But he's got to find a way, you know, to get there, you know, whether it be around him, through him, whatever. They need more than they got in that first game. And they may very well tell you something different, but I don't think I saw him sniff the quarterback. I did see him drop into coverage a few times, which I thought was interesting.
Were you surprised to only see Restrepo play 11 snaps in the game?
Well, a little bit. I thought he'd get out there sooner, but you know, I think they want to get, you know, 5 and 17, you know, some reps and time on the field. They're really happy with the practice that Helm, Iomanner, and DK have had over the last week. They like the practice that they had down in Tampa, and so. Not real surprising that they put those guys out on the field, but, you know, if they were, you know, there's two thoughts to it. One, if they really wanted to see if Restrepo could do it, they would have got him in sooner. And two, are they trying to hide him? You know, are they trying to hide him to get him through the practice squad? You know, he doesn't do anything in the preseason for anybody to see. Now, in the 11 snaps he got out there, I'm not watching him exclusively, but I didn't ever see him, like, streaking wide open.
Right.
And then Boyle would have had to get him the football. I know, look, I don't know. I'm just reading body language. I feel like there was a lot of disappointment there from him and his mom.
I don't think the hiding thing. I think he's hiding himself, right? He's just not quite up to the. He's not what I thought he was. But you know, that's what that happens plenty with like great college players or really productive college players when they get to this level.
Well, it's one game.
Yeah,
he's going to have another chance this week, and we'll see if he can make something happen. But you're right; it's harder at this level. It just is. I mean, there's plenty of guys who were great college players and didn't do anything when they got here. The Titans have got a long list of them.
So the defense that gives up 178 yards on the ground without Sweat and Simmons, does Sweat and Simmons make that much difference? Does that make everything make sense?
Yes, they make a very big difference. And the other thing is how many of those yards came in the second half? I mean, the fourth quarter was, I mean, it was a sieve. Okay. So I don't know how many of those yards came there. But the run defense certainly needs to be better. And if I asked you before the game, who are the Titans' two best run defenders? Who would you have said?
Probably Sweat and Simmons. And then you could probably throw Barton in there, too.
Okay. So there you go. So you're missing your two best run defenders. If they don't make a difference, then why are they paying them what they're paying them?
Right.
So you need those guys on the field. But I think what we saw overall is they need more depth, and they need better depth. And that shouldn't be a shock to anyone at this point.
Yep. It's going to be interesting to see how that part of it plays out. Stop the run as we move forward here. Corey, great stuff. Great job on Saturday night on the broadcast. Looking forward to the rest of the preseason coming up, and we will talk to you next Monday, my friend.
All right, very good. Titans and Falcons on News 2 Friday at 6.
Right. And you're sidelining again, right?
Yeah, just this one. The last one is a CBS national game.
There you go. So Corey Curtis back on the sideline coming up on Friday. Corey,
it will not be Ross Tucker, okay?
That's good. That's good. Corey Curtis brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. We'll react to what Corey had to say coming up next. Your thoughts on the Titans. We'll get back into Cam Ward's performance. All that coming up. Robbie and Rexro, 102.5 The Game. This September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinetics' Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. You can get your tickets now at Rock the Cradle Nashville. KCAA.org. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5 The Game. Appreciate Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. They fall 29-7 in their preseason opener against Tampa Bay on Saturday. A couple series for Cam Ward and the starting offense. Ward finishes 5 of 8, 67 yards, quarterback rating of 89.1. Calvin Ridley, 3 catches for 50 yards on 3 targets. So a nice performance from Ridley. Good showing between those two, particularly on that second drive, which is where Ridley made all 3 of his catches on that second drive there for the Titans. Titans went 3 and out on the first drive, Ward 0 for 2, and then 5 of 6 on that second drive, finishing the day there. Look, I think Corey summed it up well, Joe. I thought Ward was fine in the game. Obviously, the first drive for the Titans did not go very well. And then the second drive, he made some nice plays. Ridley was wide open over the middle of the field for a 27-yard pickup. Big play on that one. And then a couple of, I thought, really nice touch throws from Cam Ward to Ridley after that. Did have a throw on that drive that should have been picked off, so you have to keep that in mind in this whole discussion. But yep. Overall, what did you think of Cam Ward?
Yeah, I thought it was a good start. And you're sitting there after the quick 3 and out, and you know, I think that he had more time than he thought on the play where he drifted right. Yes, that throw needs to go out of bounds too, just to make sure. But then you're sitting there forever and ever to get back on the field. And he gets back out there, and that second drive was good. There's some really good throws to Ridley. Like you said, he missed something. He didn't see something on the near pick. But I thought the Ridley-Ward connection especially was promising. That is like confirmation of what's been going on. It's very different from what was going on a year ago with then QB1 and Calvin Ridley.
Yep.
So, as you tweeted during the game. So, I think that's probably the one takeaway is like those two should have a pretty good connection. And, you know, Ridley could have a pretty big year, I'd say. So, I think overall a good thing to get out there on that second drive, move down the field, and then just build off that. It seems like there's been a little bit of an upward trend for him and the offense. Kind of even like, again, held their own, did some good things against Tampa Bay in the joint practice after having kind of a bounce back day finally in their own practice and now this. So it does seem like there's a little bit of a linear uptick right now.
It does. And, you know, Tony Pollard scores the touchdown on that drive. You know, Pollard didn't get a ton of work in that game, which is fine. He had 4 carries for 9 yards, did score the touchdown. Spears goes down with the injury, so he leaves the game, rides on the cart back to the locker room. We later find out it's a high ankle sprain. He's going to be out the rest of the preseason. So, you know, when you're talking about a high ankle sprain, what's that going to mean for his status in week one? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. It's not a great start, though, for Spears in a situation – for him personally, where he needs to have a big year if he's going to continue to be around here, I think. Like, if he doesn't give the Titans much this year, they got to come up with a different plan at running back next year for whoever's going along with Pollard. And then beyond that, like, for the Titans, you've got Mullins, who you just drafted, who I thought showed some decent things in this game. You do have Julius Chestnut, who is an August superstar, as you've pointed out, and is good on special teams. So, I mean, it's good to have those guys. But neither one of those guys have the chance to be as dynamic as I think Spears can be. Problem is, we just never see it with Spears because he's hurt all the time, and he can't get himself out there on the field. And here we are again talking about a high ankle sprain before the season ever starts.
Yeah, it's tough. You feel bad for him because I don't think it's all been bluster about him looking better, more explosive, and him having potentially, you know, more opportunity this year. Never bought the idea of the split. I mean, that's something Charles Davis said on the broadcast too. Is that he said? I want to say he said like they're playing. They want to split their work. That's a paraphrase, but you know, basically, it sounded like he was saying that he was told 50-50. And I just can't buy that at all. I can't buy that without this injury. Now you have this injury for a guy who has a massive injury history, and so I said earlier, go with Calvin Ridley in fantasy. Pollard's not a bad pick at some point either. Yeah. Those are the two guys on this team that I'd look at, and he's gonna carry the mail. He's gonna be the main guy. Do you need to look at someone else as a third down back. And that's what you're going to need. In the opener at Denver, you need a third down back, you know, to go with him. Is, you know, is Chestnut a guy who can do that stuff? Is he good enough in pass pro? You know, I don't know. But I don't know if Spears will be available at that point either. I mean, high ankle sprains, I guess, just like a lot of things, are small or faster timelines for some people.
Cameron says, high ankle sprains typically have similar recovery times as amputations. So we'll see what that looks like on the Spears front there. But not what you want to see from the Spears standpoint to start things off. You know, Ridley with a good day. Lockett, one catch on one target for 7 yards. A couple other things that stood out to me offensively. You know, I said it earlier. I looked up in the fourth quarter, and Josh Wiley made a catch, and I think it was his only catch of the game. It was. He made a 7-yard catch, and I looked up, and I was like, wow, there's like a minute and 40 seconds left in the fourth quarter, and Josh Wiley is out there on the field making a catch. Probably does not speak well to where he is right now in the tight end competition. You know, I think we know at this point that Chig and Gunnar Helm are going to play significant snaps out there. It looks to me like David Martin Robinson is third in the pecking order right now at tight end, and that Wiley is fourth at best. And, again, I don't know how the numbers are going to break down and if they're keeping four tight ends or, you know, what that's going to end up looking like, but does not look like Wiley is in a great spot right now with this roster.
Yeah, and TD mentioned that Friday, you know, the DMR as guy to watch. And, again, he was kind of a camp hero last year, but maybe he's even made some more gains to be a little bit more of a factor on the field. You predicted Wiley not going to make it. I think there's a pretty good chance that that's the case right now. Helm played a lot, didn't get a lot of action, but I still think you're going to probably see something from him before the preseason. Chig had a good moved the chains on one particular play. I know Chig
stopped right at the sticks.
Yep,
see.
That's right.
Get to the sticks.
But I know Chig's made a couple miscues, I think, on a couple cam picks during camp, which you don't want to see from a veteran tight end. But yeah, I think that's starting to become clear at that rotation. Lenny says Ridley's going to be double teamed all year long. Yeah, I mean, look, teams are going to shift their coverage toward him, but I actually think like Lockett. I think Aya Manor is – I think he's going to carve out a role, and I think he's going to make some plays for this team. I don't think that they're, like, completely devoid of other guys who can make plays if that's what teams want to do.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More your thoughts to get to on the Titans and your takeaways offensively. We'll get into the defensive part of the ball, part of the team coming up next as well. Take your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game.
Was the speed of the game about what you expected?
It was. It's not really too different from college. Just more of being, I would say, alerted on third downs. Just the cans that you can get to in Coach Callahan's offense. And then just getting the ball out when it needs to be out.
That's Cam Ward after the game on Saturday. Titans lose 29-7 in their preseason opener against Tampa Bay. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Joe, I guess we're just being too negative today on the text line. People are really mad. They're like, is there anything positive with the team? Spears is terrible. Oladejo's terrible. Ward's just mid. I mean, here's my response to that. First off, we said Ward was fine. Ridley played well. There were some things to like. We liked the second drive for the Titans to respond, go down the field, score a touchdown.
I mean, the most important thing of the entire season was pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
It was fine.
Also,
you build on it.
Yeah. So, yeah, all that's fine. They also scored 7 points and lost by 20. So, like, if you want positive all the time, that's the football team's responsibility. I'm sorry. Like, we're going to talk about what happens and what we see and what some of our opinions on it for sure. But, like, if the Titans put out a good product and they start winning games and they're fun to watch and the quarterback plays well and all these things, guess what? We'll talk about it. We talked a whole lot about this run that the Titans went on with Vrabel of getting the AFC title game and being the number one seed. There are a lot of positive things to talk about. Derrick Henry running for 2,000 yards. A lot of positive things to talk about when the football team does their job and puts a good product on the field. I don't know what to tell you. Like, They can't score points. They were the worst team in the league last year, and until proven otherwise, that's what they are. So what would you like us to do about it? I guess that's my question.
This used to be such a happy, sunshiny show. Now, Andrew did find a – Andrew says, I can't believe I got to watch the Titans offense that wasn't run up the middle and complete on third and long punt. We looked like a modern football team. Yay!
There we go.
Okay. I feel like they tried to do some stuff like that last year too, right? But, yeah, I mean, there you go.
Trust
most
me.
Of the, hey. Most of the reaction today has been
– I can tell you this. Let me pull you behind the curtain a little bit, all right? You're not going to find two people that are sick of talking about bad football more than these two right here on this program. Let me tell you, we've talked about a whole lot of bad football with this team over the last 3 years. And frankly, I'm tired of it. I don't want to talk about more bad football. I really don't. Like, I have no interest in watching this football team roll out a 3-14 season this year. I'm sorry. I don't. So I'm hoping that they're really good. But I'm also just not going to close my eyes and sing kumbaya because things are negative around here. Go play. Go do your job, the Broad Bill Belichick phrase. Go put a positive product on the field. We'll talk about it. I promise.
Yeah. I mean, Lenny says I'm positive we'll probably get a chance at Arch Manning. There you go. Now, wait, Lenny. Are you saying in 2027 or 2026? Yeah, I mean, there's some people complaining, but I feel like most people are piling on the Titans and they think they suck. And I can't really disagree with those people. Texture says, I love you guys on your show. Just hate my team is going to have another terrible season, LOL.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, probably. But again, like, yeah, it's all about the QB, right?
Yes.
So from that perspective,
I'm not going to say exclusively the lens because that's probably an overstatement. But that's about 95% of what I care about this year. How does Cam Ward look? And I think most Titans fans feel the same way. Like, yeah, we're going to talk about the coach, right? And, I guess if the coaching is just such a disaster around him, then that's gonna dominate the conversation more and more as the year goes on. But really, like, it's Cam Ward in the offense. Like, what do those guys look like this year? How good's Cam Ward? And I thought he was fine. Like, there was nothing that I walked away with overly concerned about on Saturday's performance. Yeah, he probably should have thrown a pick. That happens sometimes.
He'll throw picks this
year. And by the way, he's going to throw some interceptions this year, and he's probably going to throw a few that are bad, right? Like, you're going to walk away and say, oh, God. Like, how did he not see that? That's part of it as a rookie. But, yeah, all in all, I thought it was a fine performance, and now you move on to week two in the preseason, and hopefully it's a very productive joint practice session with Atlanta. Where by the time the season comes and as the season continues to progress, you want him exposed to as much as possible so he can grow as a player and grow in what he sees on NFL defenses, all those things. So, yeah, like Cam Ward, I think, is in a fine spot right now heading into week one.
Yeah, and there are some parts of this team, because right now we're reacting to preseason games. We got two more to react to. Well, there are some parts of this team that are so bad that, like, you're going to come away from a preseason game having watched bad football. Especially QB3, but backup quarterbacks in general. And the depth on this team isn't good. So you saw, like, Corey said, there was a lot of dominant Tampa Bay offense or clock killing in the second half against that defense, which couldn't stop the run. Now, they did that early, too. But again, the Titans are, I think they're going to probably play those key guys on defense sparingly, so they're going to look worse than they are. How good are they for real in real games? I don't know. I mean, I the edge spot is bad, right? Yep. Corner could be okay if Snead plays, but the preseason games are going to really expose the depth issues that this team has, so it's going to look – I mean, in some ways, it's probably going to look worse than it is if they can stay healthy and keep their main starters on the field this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big part of it. Now, having said that, the defense, most of their starters were out there. Well, I shouldn't say most. A lot of their starters were out there. And, Kyle Trask looked pretty good, and they ran the ball. Now, a lot of the rushing yards, as Corey pointed out, did come later in the game. I do think there was one point in the first quarter where they had 70 rushing yards. So it's not great. It's not what you're looking for when it comes to Tampa Bay.
Right, but it's no Barton, no Simmons, no Sweat. I mean, yeah. do those guys, how much difference they make? They better make a big difference.
One. Yeah.
Simmons and Sweat, if they're not the strength of the defense, I don't know what it would be. You know, the back end's not bad, but
and by the way,
they've got to be a strength.
Something to keep an eye on this week is, you know, Sweat won out there at the end of last week. So it would be great to see him sooner rather than later get back on the field and be able to get in some work here before the season starts.
So he had his tonsils removed, which at first I was like, man, do that in June. But as for people who, I mean, when you're an adult, usually that means something happened and you realize, oh, crap, you have to have your tonsils removed now. And it's so I'm sure it wasn't, let me, I'm going to have my tonsils removed in mid-August.
I saw Will Levis go get a surgery. He's like, oh, wait, you can do that? Okay, cool.
It's like, you know, I'm going to get that, I'm going to get snipped on the Thursday or the first day of the NCAA tournament and have to sit there icing myself for 2 days watching basketball. I don't think this was that. It's probably, but it's unfortunate timing because, but it's also better that it's like tonsil removal than it is an actual injury him being out of shape or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. And again, like we talked about it heading into the game, there's no reason to play Jeffrey Simmons in the preseason. Like I'm not interested in Jeffrey Simmons taking unnecessary hits in the preseason when you know what his role is going to be and where he's going to play. So you're not going to see him throughout the rest of the preseason. You know, the offensive line looked good. And again, I understand you're going up against Tampa Bay's backups out there, but the offensive line in pass protection handled their business pretty effectively, I thought. And look, it was good to watch the quarterback drop back to pass and have some time to see what was going on out there and to diagnose what was happening. And again, you're talking about a rookie quarterback. It's not going to be perfect. And week one is going to provide a much stiffer test than what the Titans offensive line just went up against on Saturday. But it was good to see the offensive line pass protect pretty well on Saturday, the starting group.
Yeah. Starting offensive line, Ward to Ridley, and most of Ward's performance. Again, small sample size. James Williams, those are positives. There you go. Multiple positives delivered to you, listeners.
Your thoughts on Johnny Hecker, the punter?
I was a little disappointed. I hate to be negative about the punting, but
we can't even get a positive out of the punter.
Well, you give a big hey. Those expectations are high for Johnny Hecker.
I mean, MVP.
He flat out shanked one, and then another one that I just wasn't a very good punt. So he's gonna need to step up. Texter says Arch isn't declaring. He's staying 4 years. Why would he take the pay cut? You don't really think that the number one pick money would be a pay cut?
I mean, he's Peyton Manning?
Yeah, that's not at all close to true. But I think there's a good chance he won't declare because that's been the plan all along.
Yeah, Archie says he's not declaring.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes.
If he's as good as the hype machine is telling us he will be, then, you know. And also, what if the team at the top of the draft is someone the Mannings look at and say, you know what, that wouldn't be bad. They could change their minds. I'm not 100%.
We like Nashville.
Yeah, there you go. The two QB system of Cam Ward and Arch.
Alternating
Cam
series.
And Arch. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Man.
Teams wouldn't know what to do. They couldn't prepare for him.
Speaking of multiple quarterbacks, we've got a lot of thoughts to get to on the Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle front. We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, a lot of people weighing in today on Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle. And I do think what you've said is fair. It's probably important to make a distinction between Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle.
But together, what are they, boiling? They're boiling.
Yeah, there's something.
Let Tim Boyle, Terry McCormick, that's the best contribution to Titans beat this year. Where's Kaharsky? Where's he at? Let Tim Boyle, Terry McCormick, tip of the cap.
Brian! why do you put Tim Boyle out there as quarterback?
I've got a painful boil to talk about.
Boiling.
Brandon Allen, 6 of 12, 62 yards, an interception, a quarterback rating of 30.6, which is not very good. And then Tim Boyle got out there, 4 of 13, 24 yards, 2 picks. Could have had more, but 2 picks, a quarterback rating of 0.6, which I don't think I've ever seen before. 0.6 for Tim Boyle.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff. And I mean, in this case, sometimes the numbers lie. Like, that's it. Looked like a 0.6. Whatever, you know, I never would have, like, even guessed someone could get that or that something could look like a 0.6, but it looked like a 0.6.
Yeah, it did.
And then Brian Callahan said yesterday that he was put in a tough spot. And I agree. The tough spot of people on the internet know his name and then just watched him play quarterback in an NFL preseason game. That is a tough spot. But yeah. Like Corey said, they like him in the room. He must be incredible in the room.
He must be.
Like, freaking amazing in the room.
Which, again, is fine. Like, I do think it's important to keep in mind that we are talking about the third quarterback there. And if the third quarterback ever gets on the field for your NFL football team for any significant period of time, the odds are you're screwed. So it's important to keep that in mind. So if Tim Boyle's great in the room, in the meeting room with Cam Ward, and he's an extra set of eyes, and he's really good apart from throwing the actual football in an NFL game, well, then there's value of that, and that's fine. Same thing with Brandon Allen. But, man, those two on the field, they got to be, if not the very bottom of the list in the NFL, got to be pretty close. Backup quarterback.
As a 2-3 combo,
it's not very good.
I would think that they would have a real strong case against anybody else out there. You know who would be nice to have right now?
Who's that?
Malik Willis.
Yeah, he wasn't great the other night either.
But yeah,
he would be nice to have for sure. Yes,
you know, he'd probably be a little bit of an upgrade.
I will say.
Speaking of Titans elsewhere, apparently Caleb Murphy is lighting up with the Chargers.
Okay,
that's what Texter told me. So there you go. People go somewhere else, they flourish.
I guess
this seems to be the case.
Often. By the way, Corey Curtis asking me what Will Levis's quarterback rating was against Cincinnati last year, which I remember that game. Will Levis was atrocious in that game. He was 8 of 12 for 89 yards, 3 picks. A quarterback rating of 49 in that one.
That's a 49.
Yeah, apparently.
This is a 0.6. That's like Bluto Blutarsi. 0.0. Yeah,
not very good. So I don't know that we'll see a 0.6 again. I mean, for the sake of all of us, I hope not.
Like, I seriously didn't think anything less than like a 10 or something, like a 12. You know? 0.6? What in the world?
And look.
0.0.
Pretty close, man.
Someone's saying that Kyle, on the text line, Kyle McCord, that's nice pull real fast there. Kyle McCord had a worse rating?
What was his?
What was it? 0. What? Can you have a
negative
rating?
There's not a whole lot of room to get worse. There's really not. Ugh. Do you think the Titans should keep their eyes open for another quarterback to bring in out there?
No, not really. Look, QB3 is QB3. It's a body. It's a practice body, and it's a, you know, someone to let us watch some more excellent preseason football. Which, I mean, I actually think this – he might become like a cult hero.
The ratings will go up
when Tim Boyle comes into the next game.
I'm kind of excited to watch Tim Boyle against Atlanta. I'm not going to lie.
I actually might be one of the most exciting things about Friday. I wouldn't do anything different. This team is not going to be good. This team is not going to be a playoff contender. And so if you lose Cam Ward, I would just embrace the reality of let's get the highest pick possible. I'm not saying tank, but this QB room is an auto tank.
Kyle McCord of the Philadelphia Eagles, 1 of 5 for 8 yards and an interception, a quarterback rating of 0.0 for the Philadelphia Eagles last week.
One completion? You can't even get a 0.1? 0.2?
Just telling you what it says.
Or a 0.1?
I'm learning about.
Can you do 0.1?
Well, that's the same thing.
You said 0.1. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought you said 1.0.
I'm not going to say 0.01, 100th. Of a rating. Point. Like, I'm learning about QB rating this preseason.
Yeah.
I didn't know it could be this bad.
Well, apparently it can. But, hey, Tim Boyle, not the worst one.
Speaking of QBs preseason, some people have pointed out today, C.J. Stroud, I lost it. But, what, he was like 2 for 4, 13 yards and a pick or something like this. So, his first preseason game, which, of course, meant nothing. He had a great season. So, of course, this is a tiny little snippet of information. We're going to get another – and I don't know. We may not get much Cam Ward information Friday at if they're going to, you know, they have 2 joint practices. So are they going to think he's had enough work? I would still value the game action for him, but my sense is they might play him the most in the home game and the third and final preseason game.
This is a total guess on my part. My guess is, as we sit here today on Monday, that Cam Ward will not play Friday. That is my guess.
Well, not at all.
That is my guess.
Oh God.
Well, because again, if you're playing him, you're playing your offensive line, and they're about to go through two straight days of joint practice. Like, I don't think he's playing.
They get
on Friday.
They get Friday off.
We'll see.
They can rest on Friday. I'm sorry. They get Thursday off. Right?
Do they? When's their first joint practice?
Are their practices not Tuesday and Wednesday?
I believe that is true.
With the game Friday, that would make sense, right?
Thursday off and rest them up and get them out there.
Oh. I mean, I'm with you. That's what I would do. That's my prediction as to what happens right now.
If not, boy, is there going to be some boiling on Friday?
Yeah, we could see
some extensive boiling on Friday.
Which again, I mean, the more we talk about it, the more I could be excited about it by the time Friday rolls around. Speaking of Tim Boyle, let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Chuck to the program. Chuck, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Before I make my point, hey, Robbie.
Yes, sir.
I was, outside of your family, I was the first person to see you when you were born. I showed up at the hospital. I was your mom and dad's pastor at that review.
Oh, very nice. Thank you, Chuck.
So, yeah. Shout out to your parents and your grandparents.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hey, anyway, my perspective is this. A quarterback with a performance of 6 would be 10 times better than Tim Boyle.
Wow.
Well, when you put it that way, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate
it. Hey, good talking to you, Robbie.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it.
Chuck.
Chuck.
Bring in some knowledge. Bring in some and bring in some math.
Brother
too.
Chuck. I like
Brother
it.
Chuck. Boy, I was 10 times better than Tim Boyle with my 6 rating.
Boy, when you put it that way, it sure is fun to digest what that could look like.
0.1? Like, how do we even get
this?
Well,
and that's the thing. Like, he threw 2 picks. How many do you think he could have thrown? 4? I think 4 is the number.
Yeah, no, for sure. He had a couple that were very much telegraphed and very much here. See, like, I'm going to give the DB a better chance of my receiver to catch this ball. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it was bad. as bad as the numbers suggest.
Man,
I just didn't know the numbers could go there. Now we know. It's amazing. Like, you know, so then what the perfect rating is, what, 155.3? Is that what it is?
158.3.
158.3. I mean, that's a big gap in numbers. You know what I mean? Like, jeez.
Oh, man.
Sorry, poor K Dot on the YouTube chat says we've now convinced him to not travel to Atlanta Friday.
I mean,
we're not trying to do
that. Hey, look.
It's a short drive.
You know, Friday.
Traffic's not bad.
Atlanta's got the Chick-fil-A in the stadium, and it's not Sunday, so that sucker be open, right?
Holy cow, that's a great point.
It'd be worth going down by itself.
They must love the preseason in Atlanta, right? Yes!
Chick-fil-A's bumping out there. You can, like, watch Tim Boyle and eat Chick-fil-A at the same time. Pretty good.
Yep. Make sure you get extra Polynesian sauce.
Corey Curtis has told me that Callahan said that Cam Ward's going to play in every preseason game. So I guess I missed that. So I guess he's playing Friday.
So if you are a Cam do, I think you feel okay today. If you're a Ward, are you doing? I think you don't have too much to say. But we'll see on Friday.
That does it for us today. We'll try to be more positive tomorrow. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.